shirt on and your brown coat too. Everybody's joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank on the Go,
your turn signal sized glove box sized podcast.
I swear you said love box.
Love box. In the love box. A little old place we can get together.
Tin roof. Rusted. Okay. So, we're off to
a great start.
We're here at our favorite Starbucks at First and Wadsworth.
Yep.
And we have a miscellaneous show today where we just have a whole bunch of random...
Well, the connector is kind of pet peeves... Which we did, I think we did a pet peeves one before.
Right, but we've got new pet peeves, which means we have a lot of pets. Dog walkers of pet peeves.
So you had wanted to read something, I think.
Yeah, I wanted to hit the mailbag real quick here.
Electronic correspondence.
Yeah, we got some electronic correspondence.
I had a stroke there apparently while I was saying that.
So, I'm going to read from the mailbag real quick
and
here.
This is from our...
from the website.
Questions?
No, it's just from the website direct.
Oh, direct website.
These are people who've responded to our...
And have gone directly to our website.
Yeah, gone to the...
At www.rockymountaingeektank.com.
Yes, yes. And they commented in a couple of our podcasts.
Oh, nice.
And we've got... Kidney Failure writes... A colleague of my own was able to change chronic kidney disease. I thought that was an interesting thing.
They're clearly not from... English is not their first language.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if that's the case, too. It's kind of weird.
I can't remember. Did we do an episode on kidneys or kidney disease? I don't think we did.
I don't think we did either.
That doesn't seem
which makes me wonder, maybe they had the wrong website.
They must have had the wrong website.
Probably.
Maybe that was like Rocky Mountain Surgery Tank or something like that.
Organ tank. Yeah. College Degrees writes, it's amazing in support of me to have a website, which is helpful for my experience. Thanks, admin.
That again, the grammar is all wacky. I don't think they're American.
Yeah, it's like, maybe they're not.
I guess some Americans really suck at grammar because, getting there and there mixed up with there.
I could see that. Which is which? That's confusing.
Exactly.
And the last one I've got here is Learning Styles writes... Pretty. This has been a really wonderful post. Thanks for providing this info.
Oh, that's really sweet of them.
That is really nice of them.
I'm glad they think our show's pretty.
I think so, too.
A lot of people
don't... Maybe they think we're pretty.
A lot of guys don't like to be called pretty because they associate it to being feminine,
which
I think is totally stupid.
And it's kind of weird and strange, but...
Well, thank you.
Personally, I'm okay with that.
That was learning at learning.
Learning Styles.
Oh, thank you. Learning Styles.
We appreciate
that. I think
that was nice of them.
If you're listening, thank you.
Yes. So if you have something that you want to talk to us about...
It's better to actually write us at our email address.
Which is questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
And as you can tell by the title, questions, if you ask us a question, we'll be happy to read it on air for you and answer it.
Yeah.
Especially at the end. I don't know if you know this or not, if you've been listening past our credits, but we do a special Ask Us Anything.
Aua.
And that's where we take your question and answer it.
Right.
And really, ask us anything.
Ask us anything. So we're going to talk about pet peeves.
So let's start out with...
we're going to dog walk our pet peeves.
The geekiest one of these, and that is pet peeves that you would have as a game master for role-playing games.
Yes.
A GM.
We were talking earlier a little bit about this. I like to draw whenever I'm playing role-playing games.
Being an artist.
It seems like a thing. But one of our game masters, in fact, our engineer, Kevin, it really bothers him when I'm drawing. He feels like I'm not paying attention. Where you, of course, when you GM, and you have oft done this, I've been drawing, and you have talked to me, and my character talks back just fine.
Right. To me, the thing is, whatever your thing that a player is doing out of game, as long as it's not distracting other players, and as long as they're still focused on the game... That they're not, as long as they're mentally there.
Right.
Which I can see some people, if they pulled out a DS and plugged in headphones and started playing a game, that would be bothersome because they're clearly not giving me the attention I need for them to be participating.
Right. Right. But I've got character sheets that go back to junior high that have my character drawn on the character sheet.
Right. I think in the handbook of being a good player, it says give your full undivided attention.
Right.
Which I can see if Kevin didn't know you, that would be very rude to just do at any game.
Right. But that's why I haven't really been doing that yet with my FASA game, because I don't think they know me well enough yet to know that I can pay 100% attention.
Yes, and it would also be good etiquette just to ask the GM and the players, hey, I like to draw during games, but I am still totally focused on the game. I can multitask.
Are you guys okay with that?
With that, if you're uncomfortable, just let me know, because I won't do it.
Yeah, I don't know if my FASA GM listens to our podcast, but if you do, he's bring this up at the next game.
So that would be a pet peeve of Kevin as a GM, as people doing other things while supposed to be role-playing.
Right, right. And it is kind of interesting, because you're right, that Kevin has known me for a long time and has known me for many games, so I'm kind of perplexed that he finds that offensive, since he's known me to do that. And it's not like I don't pay attention to the game whenever we're playing. I always feel like there's a lot of downtime. I mean, if you're going to be a good player, you need to not dominate the game, and I don't want to dominate the game.
Which that is one of my pet peeves, is when you have
that one player
who doesn't just take the role of, because a leader doesn't necessarily make all the decisions.
Right.
And in fact, I think there's a term for that, which is called like a table head or something like that. I can't remember what it's called now. That sounds totally wrong now that I said that word.
I'm not going to say nothing.
Past our PG-13 rating. But it's
not like we didn't start that way in this particular episode. Somebody wants to make an announcement.
But nope, nobody's getting married, apparently. But,
dang it.
It's where one person decides they're going to make all the decisions and guide the group. And it really should be more of a democracy in the game. I've had a couple of times where a player tries to dominate the game.
Yeah.
And that bothers me. That's a pet peeve.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of interesting pet peeves about gaming. I have, like, weird pet peeves about, you know, like, well, and there's another one, like Alex, our player Alex, his pet peeve is don't touch his dice.
Yeah, that's a player pet peeve.
Yeah, it's a player pet peeve, I've seen GMs who are the same way. Don't touch the dice, don't touch the GM screen.
And not
that's
touching,
another thing, is people who use GM screens.
Or don't shoot a hole through it with an airsoft gun.
Did you do that once?
No, I didn't, but I was at a game where that happened.
I see. Somebody shot the GM screen with an airsoft gun?
Dan, who I think is a fantastic GM, I'm pretty sure it was an Earthdawn game, now that I'm thinking back on it. One of the players had brought an airsoft gun, and I think they thought it would just bounce off of the screen. I don't think they realized the FPS
power
of it.
Yeah.
And they shot, and it put a hole right through the screen. So it was, I don't know how else
to
say it.
Did it hit Dan?
I don't remember. But his natural body armor would have deflected.
Yeah, he's got a high DR.
Damage resistance.
Yeah.
Because he's a tough dude.
Another pet peeve I have as a GM is rules lawyers.
Yeah, because that's when the mechanics of the game overrules the story and the fun of the game.
Well, and we've got a couple of people who are the good kind of rules lawyers. Because there's two kinds of rules lawyers. There's the rules lawyer that sits there and says, you can't do that, GM, because rule number 16B says. And then there's the kind of rules lawyer whom we have in our group, which actually you're amongst these people, you and Alex generally, who will sit there and go, wait, how are we going to do this? Well, if we were to check out this chart and look at this page, those rules lawyers don't bother me, because I can always say as the GM, it doesn't matter. I'm going to roll two 10-sideds. I give you a 50-50 chance. So 0 to 50, you do it, and 51 to 100,
I'm
going to
flip
100,
a coin.
Bam.
It comes down to, do you want to do a coin flip, or do you want to have more rule mechanics apply to it?
Right. Because, I mean, sometimes it's like, I'm more of a cinematic story or cinematic GM than I am a rules GM. Kevin's more of a rules GM than a cinematic GM.
As a GM, I
feel like you're somewhere in between.
I have a 5-minute rule in my brain. I try to stay as close as possible. So if you say, hey, what's the damage of a 30-30 level? And I'm like, oh, I did not prepare for that. If I can't find it in 5 minutes in the book, I'm going to just do my best guess.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes is like the max. If I've spent 5 minutes, that means it must have been something really important. But because it breaks the flow of the game too much.
Right. Well, and that's my thing. I mean, I'm going to shoot him with a 30-30. That should kill him. Really? Okay.
Yep.
And then I think, story-wise, do I want this character to die? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, then yeah, it works. You know.
Yeah, make your roll.
Make a roll.
Give me a roll.
You hit him, you hit him, and that's okay. I'll go for that, you know.
So, there could be so many, but I think that kicks us off on our pet peeves with GMs.
Yeah, it kind of solidifies all of that. So next time you're playing games with us, and I'm kind of looking at you, she's a super geek, because you'll probably play with us.
I hope so.
Yeah, I actually have been looking forward to playing with her. She's cool.
Well, she runs great role-playing games.
Yeah.
We did a quickie...
kind of wish we had... Expand this?
1 minute role-playing game.
Yeah, we
did. She did. And apparently the audio didn't come out so great, so I don't know if that's ever going to hit. Yeah.
That's not a problem. All I remember was that we both ended up strapped to a big pole without...
He's referring to our characters.
Yeah.
Not us.
We died. Strapped to a big pole.
I'm going to... Spoiler alert, we died.
Well, I didn't think there was any way out of it. I think that's the part...
Not with that attitude.
Yeah. I think it's like Kobayashi Maru.
Oh.
Anyway. Okay, well, we'll be back right after this with more random pet peeves.
Geek Tank, you may also like She's a Super Geek, which is an actual play RPG podcast that highlights women as GMs, and we edit.
Here in my car, where the image breaks down, will you visit me, please, if I open my door and car?
And we're back.
So this episode's called Walking Your Pet Peeves.
Which we came up with in between breaks.
Yeah, so that's why I think it's clever, and I have to say it.
Yes.
Because I came up with it, so I think it's clever, and so...
And that's never wrong. Excuse me.
Wow. That sounded like a bad idea. Anyway, so our second part is about driving mistakes.
Driving mistakes, things that cause pet peeves. For those of you who don't know, I was a driving instructor for a couple of years.
So this section's called Driving Miss Crazy.
Hmm.
I'm just... Hey, I'm working. You think
you're on a roll?
I think I'm totally on a roll. The roll I'm on is a Kaiser roll.
Of course, the day that we recorded this is kind of inclement weather. And
yeah, that means that we're driving uphill all the time,
both ways,
every way. Yeah.
And somebody cut you off.
Yeah, I was driving. I mean, obviously it's snowy, it's slushy. I mean, because this is early in April here in Colorado.
It's our first big snowfall in a while too.
Yeah, and it's our first big snowfall in a while, which usually means that we get a lot of people who are idiots crashing into other people. But I was going along, and this guy, I mean, he was in a little sports car, and of course we're all driving slow because it's slushy, and I don't know. Every time I get into snow and ice, I don't know about you, but I test to see how slippery it is. I am routinely driving standards, so I put it in first gear and I'll dump the clutch to see how much it takes to break my wheels free a little.
I find it funny that they're still called standards when they're no longer the standards.
They're no longer standards. So the non-standard manual.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was pretty slippery, but not really that bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving along. And I'm giving, you know, about six car lengths to the car in front of me, even though we're only doing about 30, mm-hmm. Because I want to give room for that. And this guy, I can see him in my rearview mirror. He's pushing me. And then he, in a fit of anger, passes me on the left in the turn lane. And just before a stopped car whips in front of me, cutting me off. Mm-hmm. And I laid on the horn because, really, I can't go any faster than the guy in front of me.
Right.
And
well,
then
he saw empty space and felt you should be occupying that space.
Right. He felt that I should be driving as close to the car in front of me as he was driving.
Right.
And he was this little sports car. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, you're going to end up being an accident on the side of the road. And you're going to ruin that pretty little sports car that you just got there. And I don't know why you're driving in this mess like that.
And, of course, he got 30 feet further than he was and then continued to go the same speed that you were going because the car in front of you was going that speed. It's actually a complaint that when I was a driving instructor, I would sometimes hear as a counter argument to my instructions that you should leave the 3-second rule.
Right.
And when bad weather, 5 to 7 seconds.
Yep.
And what that means is when the car in front of you passes a stationary point, in your brain you think 1001, 1002, 1003. If you pass that stationary point before 1003, then you are following too close to safely stop. And the nice thing about that rule is it adjusts itself based on your speed. So you don't have to do math in your head. Like the other way is like one car length for every 10 miles per hour type thing. So then you have, how fast am I going? But when you leave that space, it's a significant amount of space.
Right.
Other cars see that and want to pull in.
Right.
And so when my students will say, but other people will cut in front of me, it's like, well, then you readjust your 3 seconds to that car.
Right.
Just because people want to drive dangerously doesn't mean you should also drive dangerously.
When I took driver's school, and one of the guys said, it's exactly the same arguments that we were having. And this guy goes, you know, if I left 3 seconds for every car that cut in front of me, but I'd be going backwards at some point in time. And I'm like, no, you won't.
That's impossible.
That's really ridiculous. But
because you don't reverse to get that 3-second distance. And obviously, this distance is why you're traveling. As you come up to a light, you just leave enough room to escape. We call it the escape route. Which means if you go right up on their bumper, if you can't turn the wheel and clear that car while that car stays stationary, you're too close.
Right. Well, and you want time for your brain to see that there's a problem and get out of the way.
Or if you get hit from behind, you have distance that you're not being knocked into the person in front of you. So the pet peeve that strikes me, I mean, obviously cutting people off is not a proper technique, but the turn signal thing always baffles me.
Right.
Because it's insanely simple to use a turn signal. So I can understand if it was a complex thing, if you had to hit 30 different buttons and then spin around 3 times in your seat to make the turn signal work. But you just extend your pinky from your left hand and push down or up on the little stick. So it's.
I think the argument I have often heard is if I tell them where I want to go, they speed up and block me.
Which, yes, which can happen. However, if you don't see someone and you think, oh, I don't need to use my signal, there might be that one person making their decision off of what they think you're doing. That you don't see.
Well, and I think that what happens is people get adjusted to the idea that they shouldn't be, or they get used to it. It's like I tell my son, if you make a habit of not turning your signal on, then you forget to turn your signal on that one time when you really should be. And
it's also not enforced. The stuff that gets enforced more, people tend to do, but even that.
Well, no, I know that when I was a teenager, one of my buddies got, you know, they did a thing wrong, and it was reduced to failure to signal. So clearly there is a...
There is. It's in the rules, but usually an officer won't bother with it unless if your failure
unless
to signal was dangerous.
Caused an accident.
Yeah. So it's just one of those that it's courteous to show that. That what I'd love to see more people do as drivers is to really get in the mindset of thinking this is a team sport.
Yeah.
And everybody's on the same team.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
Because right now we have this is a competition. So
yeah.
I must not let people in front of me. I must take that space that person has left for me to get over. And instead of thinking...
I can get 5 inches or faster.
Or there's a turn signal.
Right.
I should remove my foot from the gas and allow a little bit of slowing down to allow that person over. And it's really, if they would just work as a team instead of against each other, there'd be far less accidents.
That's totally true, but also we're more lenient. We've talked about this before, having taken the test, a driving test in Japan. I just had a friend who's in the UK, and she was saying that they made her go back and redo the test even though she's been driving for 20 years because they're like, yeah, you're American? No, take a real test.
Yes.
And that's sort of the way they feel. And it's the same in Japan. I mean, used to, they would go to Hawaii, get an American driver's license, come back and convert it to the Japanese driver's license. So now Americans all have to retest. You can't convert the test over, but it's the same thing. The Japanese just don't find it. We're not worthy.
Right.
And you know, seeing the way we drive sometimes, I completely agree. You and I were talking about this too. My pet peeves for driving are people that don't pay attention and aren't aware of the vehicles around them, because we're talking about a ton and a half of metal going at a pretty high speed, and I have seen some horrific accidents caused because somebody just wasn't paying attention. I mean, we talk about texting and driving and stuff like that, and people texting, and I'm horrified to text and drive.
There was recently, actually, I believe it was 12 or 13 fatalities because of somebody texting and crossing the line and doing a head-on collision type thing. So,
I mean, it can wipe out, and it seems like such an innocent, innocuous thing. You know, you're just texting. You know, it's like, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. I'm paying attention mostly. And it's like, you think about it, but I've tried to just get my stupid phone to get the right location on my map. And I'm like, screw this. I'm just going to have to pull over. Mm-hmm. Because just typing in the location on the map is enough that I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like I'm seeing the road.
Well, the distance that a person covers while moving is more than they realize.
Yeah.
And so by not looking, you're moving forward blind.
Right.
And you can't control what comes in front of you at that point. Is there a car turning in front of you? Is there a kid running across the street?
You know, that's what we need to do, is if you want to do a texting and driving thing, have this guy driving along blissfully with a blindfold on. Mm-hmm. You know, da da da. He's listening to music. You know, you wouldn't drive blindfolded, so why would you drive while texting? Yeah. There we go. I have made a new marketing campaign. There you go, guys. Take that and run with it, and throw some money back to us. Become a patron. If you use that idea, become a patron. So anyway, there we go with driving. Any other driving pet peeves? So it seems like there are two kinds of things that suck, too, is also aggressive driving and not paying attention while driving. Those two really mess with me.
Yeah, people losing their cool. And that's part of the passing you thing.
Yeah, he was really upset and mad that I was going slow on a snowy highway.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you're in a sports car. I get that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's snowing.
I've had times where I know where all the photo radars pop up in vans in my neighborhood, so I know where to slow down at. And I've had people who get angry at me for slowing down because they don't realize that we're going to be coming up to one, and then they'll pass me and zip off and then get flashed by the camera, and it's like, dude, I was trying to help you out.
Yeah, trying to help you and you didn't want to do it.
Nope.
So there you go.
Yeah, I remember I had to give their driver's license test, the written one and the driving one, as an instructor. And the questions, I believe there were 24, and you could actually miss like 5 to 6 of them. So you could get a C or D on it and still pass.
Right.
And the questions were so stupid. They're multiple choice, so you even have a 1 in 4 chance of getting it right just guessing.
And people fail that test.
People fail the test. It's a fairly, for me at least, it was
if
a fairly
speed
low.
Limit is 20 miles an hour, how fast should you drive?
Yep.
A, 20 miles an hour. B, 60 miles an hour. C, 120 miles an hour.
You're approaching a green light and a pedestrian is crossing against the light. Do you A, ignore them and run them over? Yeah, it's things that are just stupid questions.
Like, common sense.
In the test I took in Germany, of course, this was back in 1990, was 100 questions that were the multiple choice ones, and then another 50 that were signs, and there are 200 different signs. And you don't know which ones are going to ask you.
Right.
So this was like a real test.
Right. Well, and when I was in Japan, it was the same sort of thing. I mean, it was like the questions were, and they were luckily in English because that would have been brutal in Japanese. But they had the practical was in Japanese. The written test was in English, which was nice. So, but it was the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it was like 40 questions. And they were hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like obscure stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I remember the American test was sort of like that. If there's a pedestrian in your way, should you A, stop, or B, run them over?
Right.
And you're like, really? But it would, like, the Japanese test was like, if you are at a stoplight, and, you know, it was like the light has turned red. Should you, is it acceptable to turn off your headlights? Or, you know, it's like, because that was a thing that happened in Japan. If you were waiting in a turn signal, then you turn off your headlights, which I thought was an interesting thing. I like that, because that way you're not blinding the oncoming driver. Hmm. Welcome to being in Japan. You're thinking about the oncoming driver.
That's so a teamwork.
It's a teamwork thing. The Japanese feel that their roads are so tiny that it makes total sense. I mean, these roads are minuscule. And so if you're not working as a team with the people around you, you're just going to end up in a rice field.
So I real quick, the one question I missed when I had to take the American test when I came back over here, the one question I missed was the legal blood alcohol content, the BAC.
Right.
And I chose the lowest option because to me that made the most sense. It was the middle option.
Right.
I'm like, well, gosh, I guess I should drink more and know how much I'm allowed to be drunk while I'm driving. Since there's a certain amount you're allowed to be drunk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how about zero?
How about zero?
We don't do that.
That's what it is in Japan.
I'm looking forward when the automated driving starts to really take over. In any case, we rode over a little bit. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back after this.
Who's going to tell you when it's too late? Who's gonna tell you things aren't so great? Can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. No. Who's gonna drive you home?
And we're back.
We're sitting here at our Starbucks that we like to record in, and we are talking about walking pet peeves.
Our pet peeves, your pet peeves,
my pet peeves. And we saved the toilet humor one, which we're not really going for this for a humorous aspect for last. And that is comparing why are some body functions that are uncontrollable more acceptable than other body functions that are not that are also not controllable. For example, if you sneeze in public, you get a God bless you or a Gesundheit, or in your case, orange juice.
Yep,
is what you say. And
that's a commercial from the 90s that nobody remembers anymore.
Nobody, not even me, because I never watched it.
Yep,
but that it's Gesundheit means good health to you.
Yeah,
and of course, God bless you is there at blessing me with God's thing. Because so it's a you had something happen, so now I'm going to wish you. Whereas if you have the hiccups, usually there's no response to that.
Yeah, you just hiccup.
You know, some people might laugh at it.
And usually you're supposed to kind of say, oh, sorry,
me.
Or whatever. Yeah. But it's usually because you're disrupting the conversation.
Right. And, of course, burping is one of those things that can be controlled to a degree, I guess, but you really just need to cover your mouth and try not to make it loud.
Right.
So we're getting into degrees of unacceptability here as I'm rolling through here.
And we know where we're headed with this.
I think you guys know where we're headed here, and that would be passing gas.
Yeah.
And which is extremely socially unacceptable.
Yes.
And the thing that popped in my head was usually you don't do these things on purpose.
Right.
So it's not like you intended for these things to happen. It's just your body is doing some change at that point, hitting that. So I can actually control my sneezes fairly well and stifle those.
I have a hard time stifling them when they hit a certain point. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, because I'm kind of having a problem. The weather's changing, like we were saying. We had, like, weird weather. And so my nose is stuffed up and kind of weird and funky. And we've got the flowers are blooming as well while we're at it. So hay fever and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, that's sort of... Now your question really is why?
Yeah, why
is some of this acceptable and some of this not?
And one theory that popped up was just because the degree of discomfort it causes other people.
Right.
Because the stinkiness, obviously, on an elevator is extremely unacceptable.
Right.
What if you can't stop? Then you really need to hit the button and get out of the elevator. It's how much lead-up time do you have? Because it's polite to leave the room if you can.
Right, right, right.
But
I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, but there's a taboo to it.
There is.
And it's...
I mean, it's such a taboo that we're even kind of uncomfortable here just talking about it.
Right. I was one time looking up the history of manga. Did I say that right?
Manga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's spelled manga, so I have to remember that it's not pronounced that way.
Right, we don't put the American A on there.
Yes, so there was a 16th century drawing cartoon from Japan where they were passing gas into bags of air and then releasing them and using fans to direct them at each other as some kind of like juvenile fraternity game. And this is from the 16th century.
Well, yeah, but that sounds very Japanese.
Of course, they didn't have the internet, so I blame that.
Right.
That's the problem. They had to find some way
better to do.
Had to entertain themselves somehow.
No, I think I even saw like a game show where they were doing that or something like that in Japan. I swear, the Japanese game shows.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, in fact, it got funny because they air at like 2 in the morning, and I have insomnia. So there were a number of times where I was just up at 2 a.m. and had nothing better to do. I'd turn on the TV, and I'd watch random Japanese game shows, and I'd be like, okay, really?
Yep, they push the limits.
They really push the limits.
If you watch American Ninja Warrior, then you've barely scraped the surface of what the actual Ninja Warrior was like, let alone the Takashi's Castle.
Takashi's Castle was awesome.
Most Americans know as Most Extreme Challenge because a company bought it and they basically MST3K'd it, where they redubbed it and made it funny and edited it. It doesn't even need that.
No.
It's really...
It's just as broken in original Japanese as it is.
And the stuff they have them doing, you would never see happen in America, because I'm sure there's lots of injuries that happened.
Oh, yeah. Big well, lawsuits. And it's not just that. The Japanese have different sexual mores and stuff like that. I mean, I've seen identifying your wife by her breasts and things like that, shows that were there. And it was just like, well, okay. It's weird. It was just really strange. It was like some of the things that I saw where it was like, well, okay.
Not Jeopardy.
Not Jeopardy. Well, but I guess it depends on whether you don't identify
or
your
if
women.
You get it. Yeah, then you're in Jeopardy.
Yeah, and then you're in Jeopardy, all right.
And of course, if you're trying to identify like someone else's, then that'd be a family feud that would start.
It would start a family feud, you're right.
But why is that?
Well, I think, and I mean, because we were saying that, and you were like, well, yeah, but burps can smell too.
They can, depending on what somebody, their breath and then the burp could then pass it. And then when you think about the danger levels involved, sneezing is spreading disease.
Right.
So if you're sick, or disease? Not disease, I'm sorry, virus. You're spreading a virus.
Yeah, well, disease, virus. Okay.
But that would be, you should be more concerned.
But you think
that.
About that, it's been more years that it has been that way. I mean, there's been more years that we've had. We haven't known that long enough, I guess is where I'm headed. With sneezes, we didn't know that that was spreading disease until, like, relatively recently in the history of humankind. Where we did know that passing gas smelled bad.
Right.
500 years ago, 700 years
ago. Of course, as time has passed, we end up closer and closer as a society because this confined spaces, the more people, so it's no longer opened air, so to speak.
I really feel like...
I feel like
if you think about this as a culture... us being packed together like sardines versus us being very far apart really has a very dramatic effect on the way our culture operates.
It does.
Because it occurs to me that the further out you go into the country, the less that's more just a snicker offense and not quite as dramatic as it is in the city. It's a really not an appropriate thing to do in the city. Whereas country people, it's not so bad. But, of course, most of the time in the country, you're out, 100, 200, 300 feet from the nearest human most of the time, unless you're at dinner or whatever, and, a couple of miles from the closest neighbor. So it's like, it doesn't seem like it's as dramatic.
Could be. I don't have a comparison, but it makes sense. Because I think that's one of those things that everybody has probably been in a situation where they've been embarrassed because they've had to do that, and it happens.
It's natural, and it's normal.
It is, it's one of those things that's like, why should that shame be added onto that?
Right. I don't know. And it's a weird thing.
There's nothing,
kind of a pet peeve, too. I could see that.
Yeah, well... I could see it'd be a pet peeve that you're upset at people who pass gas without making any attempt to get away. Because then there are people who are lactose intolerant, and it causes that. And
or whatever. They ate beans the night before. Who knows? I mean, there's all
White
kinds
Castles.
Of stuff. White Castles the
Which,
night
Which, by the
before
way, is- you should beware any food that smells the same going in as it does coming out.
You that not- would be like Taco Bell, too.
Could be.
Although, I have a horrible, horrible love for Taco Bell. It's really terrible. I love Taco Bell, but...
Love-hate.
It's a love-hate relationship. It definitely is.
Too bad they're not sponsoring us.
Yeah, well, that would be the end of the sponsorship now, wouldn't it?
Yes. I don't know.
I just set fire to their entire sponsorship right there.
The Daily Show used to totally call Arby's horrible, and they were one of the sponsors, and...
Maybe that was in their contract.
Maybe so. I'm totally getting off topic here, unless if you want to say Arby's causes gas, I suppose.
Arby's causes gas. Okay.
If you've not seen the Arby's Facebook campaign, it's amazingly geeky.
Yeah, and, they've been doing some seriously geeky
things.
And they
do
things.
Some really obscure references to different anime. And
strangely enough, I love Arby's quite a bit as far as food goes.
Oh, he sneezed.
Oh, that was rude.
Embarrassing.
How embarrassing. I sneezed. Well, like I said, the shift in the weather and the trees are just killing me.
And the Taco Bell makes you sneeze.
And the Taco Bell makes me sneeze. And the Arby's.
I'm sure the listeners are like, have they jumped the shark with this one?
We jumped the shark. I think we've run out of, we just wanted to ask the question, why?
Well, it popped up in my head and we were.
Okay, so it popped up in your head, just bubbled to the top?
Bubbled to my head.
Yeah.
I actually don't remember. I think this is one of those questions that reoccurred every now and then, but I never thought much about it. And then on the way in today, I was thinking, we need a topic. What if we talk about pet peeves? And then that's snowballed into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's something I don't think we're ever going to see change from society.
No, I don't think so either. Well, and I don't know if I necessarily want it to. Personally, I find it kind of odious. And odorous.
I would not be surprised if at some point with technology that they develop a pill that you can take that changes the smell. And I think once the smell changes, then people would not dislike it as much.
I don't know. Even if you were... I don't know. Maybe flower farts wouldn't be such a bad thing. Who knows?
Odorless, tasteless.
Iocane farts. Okay.
Luckily, I've been building up an immunity.
Well, on that note,
we tied it all back to something geeky.
Yeah, well, you know. Stick with us for
Please send us your suggestions for topics.
Yeah, that would be nice. A whole bunch of suggestions for topics, so we won't be talking about farts anymore.
Oh, you know what we didn't mention, too? There are podcasts that are completely focused on this. We wouldn't want to do...
Farts?
Yeah, farts.
Oh, okay.
Actual farts. No, actual play is what it's called. And it's where people record the role-playing session of a game, like Dungeons and Dragons or such, and then they play it.
Right, they're
quite popular. And we've been recording some of our sessions more just to document them.
Right.
So we have a few recorded. If that's something you think you'd like to hear on our show...
Drop us a line.
It's certainly easy enough to do, and we're kind of doing a hodgepodge show anyway, where we cover a wide variety of topics and conventions and such.
Sure.
Why not throw a few actual plays in, but...
It'd be kind of fun.
We need a little prodding. We need to have someone say...
Well, we need to know that somebody would be interested. I mean, because it's a lot of effort. If nobody's interested, then why put the effort in?
So,
give us a holler out that one if you think that's a good idea. Questions at RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
Yep.
And well, and that's all we've got for today. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank. Talk to us on Twitter at @RMGeekTank or Facebook at Facebook.com/RockyMountainGeekTank. You can always email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
You can find us on iTunes and Google Play. Please give us stars. You can also find us on YouTube. Just look for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank on there and find our channel, subscribe to it, and like the videos that you like.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Play Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Fox Play. I'm Mike Davis, reminding you to brush twice daily. Good night.
Okay, well, thanks for sticking with us.
You have indomitable spirit.
Yes, again, with the no more doming your spirit.
We don't judge.
Well, no, we don't. Ask us anything. Thank you.
I was noticing.
All the doming has made me derailed.
So, awua.
Our awua today is also from the random generator of generatorness. And the question is, what is the biggest mistake you ever made? So here we are trying to biggest mistake we ever made. What was the biggest mistake? Well, I already know
okay.
what I think my biggest mistake. Normally, I would kind of say that it might have been the math thing, because I feel like that being bad at math was what stopped me from being an astronaut. But that was actually the fault of a teacher, not me. I had a really, really bad third grade teacher who really messed up my math.
So that was their mistake, not yours.
Yeah, so I feel like that was their mistake, not mine. So really, I think the biggest mistake I ever made was when I was 14 years old, my mom...
Your mom.
...had the opportunity to her to have me sent to the Lakota Reservation for about a year and just be on the res with friends of the family and hang out there for a year. And I feel like that would have been a very good thing for me because it would have given me... I mean, obviously, you stick around on the res for a year, and that's the end of your white privilege. I mean, because you can't just sit on a res for a year and say, well, no, they're not living too bad, you know? So I missed that opportunity. She asked me if I wanted to do it, and being a typical 14-year-old, I said, no, I don't want to. And she was like, okay. And now looking back on that, I'm like, that could have been a real... eye-opening and life-changing experience, and I feel like that's the biggest mistake I ever made in my life.
And a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity at that age.
Right.
Because obviously going now will have a very different effect than it would have then.
Exactly. And I mean, I had that effect to some degree by going to Japan. I got kind of a worldview from that, but I didn't go to Japan until I was in my 30s, so mm-hmm. You know, it took another almost two decades before I could kind of get my eyes opened to the universe a little bit. So I think that's my biggest mistake that I ever made. Okay. What do you think your biggest mistake you ever made?
Well, that would be when I simultaneously hiccup, burped, and sneezed and farted in front of the Queen of England. It was a hiccup, burp, a snart.
Oh, yeah.
Totally,
I can see that being really bad.
Totally making that up.
Was this while she was trying to knight you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And that's quotation mark, knight me.
Right.
No, why?
If you know what we mean.
No, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I would say, and this is a silly mistake because it's one of those, I really can't be faulted for making this mistake because I was early 20s, had been out of town, staying with two friends in a hotel to do an improv workshop thing.
Right.
This was the last night that we were going to be there, Saturday, and I really wanted to go out. This was in Atlanta, Georgia, and I wanted to see the town.
Right, right.
And I had found an article in the back of a newspaper, kind of similar to what we have here in Colorado, Westward.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm sorry, Westward, not Westward.
Westworld.
And is
a lot of robots.
Advertising a place that was a kind of a disco dance club, and it had the thing that attracted me, it said no alcohol, really large. I'm like, oh, great, what can go wrong? They
right.
don't serve alcohol, because usually alcohol is where the problem happens with places.
And you and I aren't big alcohol fans to begin with.
Correct.
So
I went there. And they didn't have alcohol in the establishment, but right out in front, people were selling alcohol from their vehicles. And that should have been my first clue of like, hey, don't go here.
And this is a bad idea.
And but I went in, and being colorblind, I didn't realize I was the only white guy there.
Aha.
And I ended up getting in. Someone came up and started a fight with me. And I did not fight as much as just defend myself until I was able to get away. And as you can see here on the one side of my head, I have a scar
right above my eye. Yep, yep.
That scar was from that fight.
Wow.
And the other scar is from a bicycle wreck.
Right, right. So, when you fought the bicycle.
When I fought it, and it won.
I fought the bicycle, yeah. And the bicycle won.
It was a circular battle.
Yeah, I could see that.
I was trying to pedal my wares. But
you really were.
It's... I wish that I had the foresight to realize I should not go out into a town I've never been in by myself.
Right.
Then go to a club. And luckily it did not have the negative effect to making me racist, because I could see how somebody in that situation could automatically blame an entire race for one idiot's choice. And so I'm glad that I did not let that event mess me up in that way.
Yeah.
But that was a
mistake. Although I'm still sitting there going, wow, so... You're saying that they attacked you because you were the only person who...
That's the best connection, because essentially...
Because, of course, you didn't ask them.
He was also
drunk.
Hey,
could you tell me real quick, before you beat me up, but why would you do this?
There were a couple of racial slurs said, which is my biggest clue to that.
Which was your clue?
Came up and asked me for a dollar to buy a beer, and I'm like, they don't sell beer here. And I don't know if I would have just given him a dollar if he would have left, or I assumed he was looking for an opening for a fight, which I totally missed.
Walked into.
And then he already had... Oh, I remember what it was. He asked for a dollar to buy a beer, and he already had a beer in his hand because he had brought in the plastic cup with it, because he then threw it at me. And then that initiated him trying to punch me and me doing all classic dodging and blocking kind of stuff. I obviously did not block well enough because I got hit.
You still got hit.
So, but in any case, yeah, that was a mistake. I kind of, if I could go back to that particular point, I'd say, don't go there.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, dude,
stay, don't go there. Stay in your room.
So we have one don't go there and one you should have gone there.
You should have
gone there. Although, I don't know. I guess...
You might have gotten into a fight.
I might have gotten into a
fight,
too.
Being the only white person there. So.
I think it's interesting that both of those end up, or both of those involve a different culture.
Yeah.
I mean, not just, I'm not talking about race necessarily, but just a different culture. Like being out of culture or not being out of culture.
Mm-hmm.
I regret not being pushed into a different culture, and you regret being pushed or pushing yourself into a different culture.
It was...
Which I think is interesting. There's a synergy to that, and I like that.
Well, I still would want to be a part of different cultures. So luckily that didn't. But I'd be smart enough to realize when I'm not welcome.
Yeah, but that was a spot where you weren't welcome, and I had a spot where I would have been welcome. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the synergy I'm looking for.
It was clearly this one person's problem too, because there were several people there who did not beat me up. So.
Yes. Just this one guy. Everybody else was okay with not beating
him. And his
you
buddy.
Up.
I mean, I didn't go into the details, but it was him and his buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is how I got tackled from the side and ended up getting hit in the head.
Right.
So, which, by the way, extensive martial arts training doesn't necessarily turn you into a violent person, and you know how to hit people and kick people, but the motivation isn't always there.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, that was our question. Yeah. If you want to ask us any questions that aren't automatically auto-generated, you can email us at questions at RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
And our auto generator was down, so we didn't have our cool sound effect going.
Right. That's the problem.
Next time.
Next time.